Okay, let's go. Oh, good morning, Rabbella. We're waiting for you. Let's see what's over there. Good morning, everybody. This week's Parsha's Baha. So, we know the opening mitzvah in Parsha is the mitzvah of Shemitah. And we know one of the central mitzvahs, or central aspects of mitzvah Shemitah, is that the Peres, which have the Kedusha of Shviz, those which grew in Shviz, or have the Kedusha of Shviz, and one of their dinim is that one's obliged to leave them as Hefka to whoever wishes to take them. The actual command to make them Hefka is not in this week's parish, it's in parish of Mishpotin, Shmoy Peres Havkibel, Vashviz, Ishmetenel, and Natashta, one should leave it open, available to whoever wishes to come and take it. I'd like to take a little look today at a fascinating topic brought up in the Minchas Chinuch and actually discussed earlier than the Minchas Chinuch regarding this mitzvah that we have to make the Peres Hefka. Minchas Chinuch comes up with a fascinating topic. He says, I wonder whether this mitzvah, to make it Hefka, is it what we call a mitzvah which is mutol a karkat of the gavri, i.e. that each individual is obliged to make his produce hefka.
I mean, if you own produce, a ground of produce, you have to make.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, only somebody who has such a property, he's obliged to make it hefka. But if you will not, what will happen if you will not make it hefka? He doesn't stand at the beginning of Shlita Yom proclaim, "All my produce here is hefka." He doesn't say anything. If he won't make it hefka, it won't be hefka. Will remain in his property, albeit he has transgressed the mitzvah saseh, but it will still be his. That's one way of understanding. Or the other way, which I think is more the sort of standard way, what we normally imagine, is that is what we call an akat of the malka, i.e. the Ribbon Shel Olam himself is makir this fruit. It's an automatic thing. And it's forbidden to the Bailim, for the Bailim to continue holding on to it as their own, because the Ribbono Shel Olam has made it happen. But the Hefka is automatic. So again, the two study are whether this Hefka requires an actual Hefka of the Bailim, who's obliged to stand there and pronounce that it's Hefka, and otherwise it doesn't become Hefka. Or no, the Hefka of Shmita is something that takes place automatically.
My comments are just tamely awesome.
Effectively, yeah.
So that's it. From now on, it's not.
It becomes awesome. So here it would become a hefka. The difference is here that here it's a monetary status. So maybe it requires the hefka of the bike. That's the song. Now there's all sorts of practical nafkaminas in this song. I mean, the most obvious practical nafkamina, first and straightforward, obviously, is if the violin was not makirit, could there be any tzar that somebody who comes and takes it would be oiger on gedel? So if you say that it's an automatic din of shviz, that it becomes hefka, so we don't care that the binding wasn't makir. The Torah made it hefka, and that's what it is. But if you well want to follow the other tzar, that perhaps it requires the hefka of the binding, so albeit the binding did wrongly by not being makir, but effectively it remains his, and it might be gezel to take it. That's one most straightforward nafkamina. A further, slightly more involved nafkamina, but also easy to follow, there is a rule that the peris of shviz are not chayin in trumas and maestras. There's no obligation to separate trumas and maestras from the peris of shviz. And the reason given for this in the Rambam is that peris of shviz are hefka, and items of hefka are not obliged in trumas and maestras. Well, maybe not. Maybe we mean in the regular scenario where people follow the prescribed Torah procedure and they make it hefka. But again, that will be an afkamina. Whether something that person wasn't actually makir, he didn't go ahead and be makir with his actions, he didn't actually pronounce it hefka. Will it be obliged in Trumas and Maestras or not? Will there be a cube of a process Trumas and Maestras? So if you say that the Hefka is automatic, So, doesn't matter. All parents to be, irrespective of what the Bible did or didn't do, will be potter from Shulam Shemaita. However, if we say that no, but the Hefke is dependent on the actual pronouncement of the Bible, so then if we were to have something of Shavir that somebody actually wasn't Matthew, it would be obliged in Shulam Shemaita. That's the second Nafkamina. A third, a fascinating Nafkamina, which he puts down, is what would be with the property of a cheresh shoyter bekom, somebody who is not a bar das. So again, that would be dependent on these two stuff. If we're to say that the hefker is automatic, the Torah for this Baruch Hu is makir in payless, so anything which, by virtue of the fact that it grew in shviz, had kedushas shviz, is automatically attached to it, then it becomes hefker. Masha Inke, if we follow the other Sada, that the Bible had to pronounce it as Hefka, so then the property of the Cheresh Shoyter Bekom will not be Hefka, it will be forbidden to take it, because they do not have the ability to be Mafkir. So three big Nafkiminis. Is there any Chashash Gezel? What is with the Chiyuv of Trumas and Maestros? And whether there will be permission to take the payers of the Cheresh Shoyter Bekom? Those are the three big enough minutes that he puts down. Now in fact, this discussion was discussed already many centuries before the Minchaschem. It is actually part of a machlokes between the Beit Yosef and other great Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael, in the Shmittas that the Beit Yosef and the other Chokim were alive, must have been talking about sometime in the 1500s, I suppose. The Beit Yosef had a big machlokes with another gadol by the name known as the Mabit, and his son the Maharit also continues with the opinion of his father. Now the Machlokes began in something else, but it also spills over to the point we're looking at. Machlokes began actually with another very famous Machlokes in Halachos of Shmittah, which is still an undecided Machlokes of Hayom Hazeh, which is whether the produce of a goy, let's say we have a non-Jew, a Gentile who owns property, whether his produce had the sanctity of shviz or not. What will happen if a goy purchases land, grows produce, does his produce have the sanctity of shviz or not? So this was a big machlokes. There's a lot of riders, it's a big shiner. This was a big machlokes between the Mabit and the Beis Yosef.
But the produce
of his own. Yes, so those who do that, as I said, it's a big machlokes, as I said. So those who do that, that is the shita followed by the Vedat Seder Charedis, it was the old minhag in Yerushalayim, to treat produce of a non-Jew as exempt from Kedushas Shviz entirely. So when we go to the supermarket during Shviz and see something marked Nochri, it is following this opinion that produce of a Nochri has got no Kedushas Shviz whatsoever. I mean, if we just try to think for a second in practical terms, if we don't follow that, then we have a very big challenge. How and under what circumstances can we sell fruit and vegetables in the store during Shviz? Because really, fruits and vegetables of Shviz are not supposed to be being sold in the store. They're supposed to be hefka for everybody to take in the field.
Imported.
So either imported, either from Chutz La'aretz, or Nafri, or there's another system called Otsubesi, where the system is supposed to be that basically you're paying for nothing more than the transportation and whatever other costs are involved, but that has to be very carefully watched over and sometimes gets out of hand. So those are the options. But as you rightly say, there are those who many still follow this opinion that they have. But that was the machloket between. So one spin-off of this shayla is whether the produce of the Nochri is chayav in Trumas HaMaisos when you buy it. So the Mabit, who held that it had Kedushas Shviz, So by the same token that it has Kedusha Tzvi'is, goes together, something that has Kedusha Tzvi'is, it is potul from Trumas and Righteous. But she'en came, the Beit Yosef, who held that the produce of a Nochri is potul from Tzvi'is, held that you have to be Mafrish Trumas and Righteous. So that was the machlokes between them with this spring off regarding Trumas and Righteous. So then, the Mabit, who held that the produce is Kodesh with Kodesh's Shvi'is, and as such, does not have to have Trumas and Maitre taken. He said to the Beit Yosef, I know what you're going to say. He said to him, don't tell me. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say to me that, you know what, even if you're right, let's say you're right that it has Kodesh's Shvi'is, I'm going to tell you that the produce of the Nochri still has to have Trumas and Maitre taken. Even though it's Kodesh with Kodesh and Shvi'is. What why on earth should that be? Because, what's the reason Peres Shvi'is are possible from Trumas and Maitros? Because, generally speaking, they're hefker. That says the Mabit. You're going to say to me, I think, that the Goy wasn't Nafkir. The Goy wasn't Nafkir. So if the Goy wasn't Nafkir, it's still higher than Trumas and Maitros. Says Mabit, no, don't tell me any of that. I'm not having it. Kedushas Shvi'is, anything that's Kodesh with Kedushas Shvi'is is automatically Hefker. And thus is automatically Potter from Trumas and Maitros. We're not dependent on whether the Goy was Mafkir or wasn't Mafkir. Irrelevant. The fact that it's Kodesh with Kedushas Shvi'is automatically makes it Hefker, and automatically, therefore, makes it exempt from Trumas and Maitros. So the Mabit stuck to his shitta that the produce of the Goy is Kodesh with Kedushas Shvi'is, and thus is exempt from Trumas and Maitros, and that even though the Goy perhaps wasn't Mafkir his parents, the exemption from Trumas and Maitros still applies, because something that is Kodesh with Kedushas Shvi'is automatically becomes ownerless, and thus automatically is exempt from Trumas and Maitros. So the point we want to bring from all this is that the Mabit presumed with a shittus that the hefker of Shvi'is is automatic. It is not dependent on whether the bailim is mafkir or isn't. And which the Beit Yosef, within the lengthy discussion that they had on that point, he says back to him, you're incorrect. On the contrary, it is dependent on whether the bailim was mafkirit. And thus, I would posit that even if the produce of the Goy does have Kedushas Shvi'is, it's still not possible from Trumas and Maitros. Because the Goy wasn't Mafkirit. And Kedushas Shvi'is is dependent on, and the Hefker in Shvi'is is dependent on whether the Goy is actually Mafkirit.
Can
he go Mafkirit? He can be Mafkirit, but he wouldn't be. Why would he be Mafkirit?
Right.
The Goy doesn't care about Shvi'is, does he?
Yeah, but maybe the place will go. He can say what he wants.
Right.
Actually, Mafkirit is something.
But he can be Mafkirit something that he's got. Presumably, I would think so. Something else. He has financial ownership. And it's possible for him to release his ownership. Just see, he wouldn't do so for a lack of reason. He could do so for some other reason. There's no reason why he should be not giving Paris in Shvi'is. He's not going to think of doing that. Okay, let's just summarize the point we wanted to bring up, that Eshayir, it was a machlokes between Beit Yosef and the Ma'arit, whether or not Paris in Shvi'is, when we say that they are Hefker, is that based on an automatic hefker of the Torah. The Torah makes it hefker automatically, whether or not the Bible decides to be mafkir. It happens against his will. That's one tzad. The other tzad, the other possibility is that maybe no, it actually doesn't become hefker until somebody is mafkir. And they were quoting from this point. And let's have a look at a couple of rayas which we can find in the Chazal. One place where there's a little remit to this, there's a Gemara in the Dori which discusses somebody who has made a neder that his friend cannot have any benefit from it. Two people who had a big fallout, Reuben and Shimon. So Reuben says to Shimon, I promise you, you're never going to have any benefit from my property again. Okay, then the Gemara discusses what will happen in Shvi'is. Is Shimon permitted to consume payrolls from the property of Reuben? And the Mishnah says, that he can actually take fruit from his planty, because the fruit is hefka. But he cannot set into his property to get it. That's what the Mishnah says.
Can you make it hefka for everybody except Shimon?
If I remember correctly, it's a machlokes, it's shamed and beisavel, there's a concept of hefka la aniyim velo la ashir. Can you make hefka for some people and not for others? There's a group of people, like a certain type of people, hefka la aniyim velo la ashir. So, I think in principle maybe he could. But over here we're dealing with the hefka of shvi'is, so...
But it still needs to be marked. It's still the bottle needs to be marked.
So it goes back. It goes back to this question: whether
automatic
hefka, there's an automatic hefka. But if it would be dependent on the hefka of the person, then it wouldn't be so possible. We'd maybe have to look at what does he actually say.
If it's an automatic hefka, then the goy is the bizarre hefka.
Exactly so. Those who held, it's all ties around the same. If it's an automatic hefker, then the same thing follows with the property of the goy is automatically hefker as well. If it's covered with vicious shvius, it goes along with it, all within the shvius, and it's also hefker. All ties into the same. Yeah.
Isn't the land also becoming
Gemara questions this. The Gemara says, why can't you go into the land as well?
Because
what I was to come to is that the Gemara, within that context, uses the words that you can go into his land as well. The Gemara says, because Rachmana Afkar, the Torah is Makirit. Now, what we want from that line is that he uses the wording that the Torah is Makirit, which gives us the implication that it's actually an automatic character.
On the land.
On the land, and then absolutely following through the produce too. It's not a different type of land on the land. So that is a proof. That is a proof to the Ma'arit against the Beis Yosef. And just while we're discussing that point, you're correct. The Torah gives us permission also to go through his land. And the Gemara continues to explain regarding that case of the people who've made the Neder, that the reason we don't allow him to go in the land is two reasons. Either he might stay there longer than is absolutely necessary for taking the payers. And the Shemitah rights given to you are only as far as what's necessary for taking payers. Or furthermore, he might use the access to take payers which are actually possible to reach from outside. And regarding that type of thing, the Torah doesn't give you access. The Torah gives you access for the sake of taking the payers. And if it's possible to get the payers differently.
What do you mean the
ancestors,
like the trees are...
Let's say they're hanging over the sides. If you could take the pears without going into his land, then
right.
So then it would be considered extra benefit for the person who made the name.
It's more convenient.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, whatever it might be. So, let's just add one more practical point since we're discussing all this. Not sure how many years it is for the next Schmidt. It doesn't seem so long since the last one, so for a few years.
Right. Four more years.
Four years or so.
We're in the third year now.
Yeah, so if people have trees in their garden or a backyard or something like that. So this type of question begins to arise, yeah? Now it's one thing if you have maybe a field somewhere, so it's big and it's soil to be mapped, but so you put a barrier outside and people can take the produce, but if you've got a tree in your backyard and you don't want people tripping through your house day in, day out to come and pick your apples. But on the other hand, there's a mitzvah to be mapped and you cannot block people out.
Right.
So the Chazanish ruled that the correct way to deal with this is that one can put a sign in front of the house saying that apples have to go in the backyard or something and they are available. The key, you put your telephone number, the key is available, please contact with me.
Between such and such hours.
I'm not sure exactly how far it goes. It will go over the details on how far can it go.
It's not in the morning, you can not
tell. Yeah, that's fair enough. I'm not sure, but that might be could also be done, and maybe not appropriate for the
Shvi.
But it could also be that is already a type of attitude of bias. In other words, they're saying, I'll put out a certain amount, you take out, and when it's finished, I'll put you some more, and you're not allowed entirely to exercise any any value to it. So although you say, well, in principle I make a hefker, but the bottom line is you're keeping your one door locked in, no, you can't come in. Else. So I think that's also all that. Okay, let's just look at a couple of other rais. This question is not entirely clear. There's rais this way, there's rais that way. The wording of the Sefer HaChinuch, when he brings this mitzvah, the opening words of the mitzvah are that he writes that the mitzvah is lahavkir, to make olos. To make olos, all the produce of the land in the seventh year, which gives us more the feeling that it's actually a mitzvah to be mafkir, and perhaps if you didn't do so, it wouldn't become hefker. One further fascinating line, which the Mishnah Skilos suggests, is that the, which goes the other way, that the Sefer HaChinuch writes over there that this mitzvah of Peres being hefker in Shemiz applies equally, right, to Sefer HaChinuch, to men, to ladies. Now we know the good old rule, Noshin apotur from mitzvahs asei shazman grom. So, says the Sefer HaChinuch, says the Mishnah Skilos, and I think we can use this point as a raya to this question, this hakira. Why? Says that he's going to say that the mitzvah is to actually go ahead and be mafkir, to make a pronouncement of hefker, that's the mitzvah. So it's the actual mitzvah of action that a person's going to do. And when do you have to do it? In the Shemitah year. So that pronouncement, that mitzvah, would be a mitzvah asei shazman grom.
Even though it's during the length of time.
Even though the length of time is very lengthy, but at the end of the day,
it's still the length, it's still the time.
It's interesting. Okay. So the Chorei says at first that would be a proof that actually it's just an automatic thing. It's not a mitzvah incumbent upon you. It's a sort of status. It's the Torah proclaims that these items are hefker, and then it's not related anymore to the Shaila of mitzvah Shaila of Magrom, and that's why ladies are also chayim, because it's actually not a mitzvah incumbent on you to make it hefker. Automatically it becomes hefker. So that's why ladies are also chayim. Then he says that maybe it's not such a proof actually. Maybe it's not such a proof. Sounds like a good proof, but actually maybe it's not such a proof. Why? Because in truth, this mitzvah to make the Peres and Shviyas hefker doesn't only apply in Shana Shviyas. So it's an incorrect way of looking. It actually applies to all produce grown in the Shana Shviyas. To all produce that is published with the Kedusha Shviyas, the mitzvah to be makir applies. But if you would have produce of Shviyas which remained till Shminis, till Shviyas, which for some reason nobody has made them hefker yet, the mitzvah would still apply. It applies to any item grown in the Shana Shviyas. But when does it apply to the mitzvah? To that produce? Forever. So thus, maybe it's not in Shana Shviyas grammar, and we cannot prove anything from that point. The bottom line, the Chazon Ish, who is sort of probably the most authoritative in a Yonim of Shviyas, where we don't have any other later Poskim, we don't have the Mishnah Berurah, we don't have Aruch HaShulchan, we don't have. The Aruch Chazon Ish is mainly the final word, and he rules that actually this hefker is automatic, he brings a number of riots, and thus we are entitled to take from Peres Shviyas even without knowledge that the binding automatically must be in any account. Okay, wish you all a good day.